The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I'll start with Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. every time is like, oh, that kind of looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you order it, and it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I fell for your dumb advertisement, which I don't even know. They don't do just...
Look how thick our burgers are.
It's not like sexy ladies anymore, right?
Yeah, I guess not, yeah. But yeah, they used to have like the... Yeah. Eat a hamburger, pussy.
Yeah, Paris Hilton on a mechanical bull.
Yeah, but then they'd have the ones where they drop the thick burger and it goes bouncing.
Oh, yeah, the dropping.
Off.
Yeah, the like, dropping move.
Eat like you mean it.
Look how heavy it is.
Yeah.
Is it good? Look how heavy it is.
Oh, man, they suck.
Yeah, Carl's Jr. can eat a dick. They well, and also, wasn't the CEO of Carl's Jr., isn't he in part of Trump's cabinet now or something?
Oh, really?
Maybe now I'm just making up evil shit. You know what thing I hate? The guy who runs it with Trump. No matter what you hate now.
I will say their breakfast is pretty solid.
Their breakfast burger looks like it should be good.
Although sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, it's real good. But for years, they had the 2 for $2.50, which is one of the best deals in fast food. But now, ever since Trump got in office, it's 2 for $3.50.
Still taco, still doing Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, Taco Tuesday and Taco Thursday. Tuesday you can get
Taco Thursday?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Taco Tuesday and Taco Thursday.
When the fuck did this happen?
Taco Tuesday, you get the 3 regular tacos for $1.89.
And that went up.
Thursday, you can get 3 chicken soft tacos for like $2.29 or something like that.
Man, it's good deal. Times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Taco
deal.
Tuesday was, correct me if I'm wrong, just... 3 tacos for $1.09.
That's
yeah,
what
with
was.
The tax. With the tax.
Well, no, just even the before tax was $1.09.
What?
Yeah, I lived off that for years.
I
mark it on my calendar.
I was never getting them sober.
That's so. What it was. It was the 3 regular tacos for $1.09, and then on Thursday, 3 chicken soft tacos for $2.09. They bump it up $1 because of the chicken premium.
Yeah, it's harder to fake chicken, I guess.
Yeah. I tell you, I had that KFC gold. I broke down and had it.
Yeah, well, all right. You're pissed. Pissed about it.
Yeah, I was pissed before I had it, and I'm still pissed after I had it.
What? Did the flavor made you mad? Or was it so good you wish Georgia invented it?
No, it was not so good. Here's the thing. All right, here's the thing, KFC. Just make a good chicken finger, and then you don't have to use your stupid gimmicks. The sauce was okay. The sauce is the best part of it. The sauce isn't bad. It's a... Kind of, it's not even a honey mustard. It's just kind of a mustard-based barbecue
mustard
sauce.
Mustard.
Yeah, it wasn't very sweet. But the chicken fingers sucked. It's like something you get at a school cafeteria.
Maybe that's why. Maybe here's a conspiracy. Maybe they put more, it's cheaper to make new sauces and cut the cost of the actual foundation of the meal.
Of course, yeah. I'm
so
sure
they can make the chicken shittier and shittier. Mm-hmm. And just put different cheese and stuff on it.
Yeah,
change it up, because if people eat a lot of them. But I think...
Same thing with Pizza Hut. If you make a decent pizza, you don't have to put fucking hot dogs in the crust.
Well, okay.
Or they got flavored crust. Just make a decent pizza. No one's like, oh, this pizza's really good. I wish there were hot dogs in it.
I'm not going to shy away. Like, if you want to try and tease me into eating the crust, all right. Because crust is a handle.
Make a good crust.
Crust is like an apple core to me. Like, you're gone.
Oh, I don't mind a good crust. I'll eat the whole damn thing.
I'll throw a little A1 sauce down and dip it. I'll do that. But yeah,
enough with the gimmicks.
I think that's it. Well, what place hasn't had gimmicks? In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger
has been the same thing. In-N-Out Burger has a line around it every time.
Wendy's. The Wendy's classic double mm-hmm. with cheese is a solid burger.
They've screw around.
Yeah, they've enhanced it, but it's not gimmick. They've improved the bun. They've improved the pickles. But it's a solid burger. No gimmicks.
They've improved the pickles?
Yeah, they got just a different cut of pickles now. Yeah. It's a higher quality pickle.
Were they advertising that?
I don't know.
We changed our pickles.
Yeah. Hey, little things.
Hey, have you not been to Wendy's in a while? Well, stop by. Our napkins are a different kind of yellow. Well, they're more of a taupe now. We went to taupe napkins. Come on by Wendy's.
But KFC, it's in your name, chicken.
Well, also it, Kentucky. Yeah. So maybe they don't know what happens good piece of outside chicken? Their state.
You know what I did do?
They're just guessing. What's the hack?
I got the combo that comes with a biscuit and the coleslaw. So I took all three mediocre components and combined them. I put the chicken tender on the biscuit and then coleslaw on top of that. I had a chicken tender coleslaw biscuit.
You ate all the stuff you didn't enjoy at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to get it over with.
Just give me the nutrients.
Oh, but man, I'd hate to think that I was in the chicken business and that's the best damn chicken finger I could do.
I was in the chicken business.
If I was in the chicken game, I guarantee you my fingers would be a lot better. That's I wouldn't need some made-up, bogus-ass Georgia
that's
gold sauce.
That's the guy you meet in business class. Not first class, but business class. What do you do? I'm in the chicken business.
Dave Stone, chicken man. What else going on,
you know,
buddy?
You get to the top of the chicken industry? You claw your way up there. That's not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, man.
Chicken clawing. Fuck. I'll edit that out. That's how bad that joke was.
There's that Seinfeld episode where George meets a woman in New York City where he lives, but he's pretending to be a tourist.
Oh, yeah.
And he says he works for Tyler Chicken in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, that's right.
Some sort of fermented chicken drink. Oh, anyway. Well,
let's talk about. Oh, by the way, it's Boogie Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, how rude of us.
Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Didn't introduce ourselves.
So, did you eat anything else? I had a good burrito. I had a soy riso burrito. Somebody else on Twitter, a listener, said she's Latina. So, she's like, from a lifetime of eating chorizo, she's uh-huh. like, the soy riso stuff is a good.
Really?
Good switch out.
Hmm.
Convincing trigger. So I was craving hard shell tacos and ground beef.
Man, chorizo is the hard drugs of meats. Like if you're going out and eating some chorizo, whew, you better clear your schedule.
Even the soy riso, still like you cut it out of a sausage tube, but it comes out like that bright red mm-hmm. grease. It's yeah. still like, oh, all right.
It's got an angry color to it. It's like, yeah. You want to eat this? All right. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's chorizo. Yeah, I love chorizo, good but it's not for the faint of heart.
I had a giant soy riso burrito.
Yeah, where from?
Mixto.
Oh, yeah, Mixto. I know Mixto in Silver Lake.
For our national listeners, there's only one, and it's down the street. Across from the Trader Joe's in Silver Lake, it's Mixto.
Yeah.
It's a green building, and they
next to Pinkberry.
Yeah, over. Yeah, I had to talk myself out of that. I didn't get on that Pinkberry shit
yeah.
until like a year ago.
It's solid.
I mean, there's reason, like, they had so much hype, and then every mm-hmm. other store was a frozen yogurt place.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that here. A lot of frozen yogurt in Los Angeles.
Well, that was like right when I first moved here. That Pinkberry mm-hmm. went nuts, and then the owner lady got in trouble for, somebody from Pinkberry, like, killed a homeless guy on an off-ramp or
what?
Something. Yeah, yeah, it was a real sad end to the Pinkberry domination of, like, and it's good for you. Everything's the best. It's like the owner of Pinkberry just killed a guy on the off-ramp, like, raged, killed somebody with a tire iron.
Oh,
I wonder
really?
My phone works.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, vehicular homicide or something.
No,
like,
well, all right. I already said Lord. At the beginning of the episode something. That was untrue, so now I got to see if this was untrue.
Yeah, that's a pretty hearty allegation.
I'm just spreading untruths. Mm. I am fake news.
Man, I went all the way to Panda Garden. I don't, not Panda
you
Garden.
Keep
I always say, yeah, Panda Express. Panda Garden's my stupid joke. I don't.
You were talking about the burrito last week, I think.
I almost said I don't live near a Panda Express, but it's like, sometimes I do.
if you want it real bad enough.
But I drove all the way to Panda Express to get this damn orange chicken burrito, which sounds great. And the one I went to, they're like, yeah, we don't have that yet. I'm like, well, got some false information.
Just go and get a tortilla.
And it,
do now!
It was the one that's in the Gelson's. There's a Panda Express inside of a Gelson's grocery store. So I almost went and bought. I was like, I wanted it so bad. I was like, if I hand you a tortilla, could you just I get a combo beef platter, throw it all in
you
there?
You can't just go picking out ingredients from the grocery store.
Why not?
We're not your personal chef, sir.
I was tempted
Everything
to do that.
In here comes in one bag.
And then I made a stink. They overcharged me. You got to watch some of these places because no one ever checks. And I'm good at math.
I counted my quarters at the laundromat today.
Yeah.
I'd be a cheap ass when I need to be.
So I always do the math in my head, and they overcharge me. And I just pointed out. I was nice about it, but nobody could, like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, before tax, it's $9.10. And on this receipt, before tax, it's $10.35. I'm like, where's that $1.25? And she kept saying, well, that's before tax. Yeah, I know. Put the tax aside. I'm talking pre-tax.
What did you
and,
get?
And then finally, like 5 minutes later, they're like, oh, you got the premium five-flavor shrimp. I'm like, well, A, it's not. It doesn't say that on the menu. And B, you should have led with that. That could have been the first route of your troubleshooting.
You could have just given this speech from a park bench to nobody.
These are the things I deal with every day.
And then, well, it was at 9:10 before tax, but then 10:35, and well, sure, I got the premium five-flavor shrimp instead of the standard five-flavor shrimp, and I didn't know if it was for the three-flavored, it would have been a dollar less.
$1.25 may not mean much to you, but, you know, I mean, every bit counts, you know? I don't know where you come from. You're just throwing $1.25 down the trash can.
I'm as cheap as they come, man. Yeah. I get it.
But, like, no one could figure out, like, she kept, I was speaking a different language. I was like, look, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, look at this math. And she's like, oh. And then finally the manager's like, did you get five flavored shrimp? I go, yeah. And he goes, hey, it's $1.25 premium surcharge. I'm like, well, maybe say that on the little sticker there. Which, I mean, you know, I'm fine to pay for. Just don't trick
How
me.
Was the five flavored shrimp?
I mean, they could have stopped at two.
Did you?
It'd be fine. They also have salt and pepper fish. Yeah, no shit.
That's, what? Well, what? Why? Because sometimes you could have...
Every food starts with salt and pepper. That shouldn't be your selling point for
your
flavor.
What about lemon and butter?
Yeah, lemon, butter, salt. But everything is going to start with salt and pepper to be waving that flag. Ooh, this is salt and pepper fish. Yeah, I hope so.
I saw that. I saw you put it on Twitter. I was like, why is he mad about this?
I just don't think it's something. It's not a selling point.
I'm telling you, there's only basic ingredients. There's
It's like bragging that you cook it. Oh, we got cooked beef today. Yeah, well, thanks.
Got a room.
Got to pick my battles.
Got a thorn in your side.
Had a rough week.
Who else is? Who else is falling in the way? It's falling to the wrath of Dave.
Oh man, just don't try to slip one past me.
Is the Waffle House guy died?
rest in peace. My radar's always up. Man, we had fun this weekend.
Yeah, buddy.
Went to the Smash 'Em Ups. I had never been.
Yeah, Demolition Derby.
That was awesome.
Our friend Brandy Posey, it was her birthday, and she said, everybody come out, Demolition Derby in Irwindale.
And we got a little bit of everything, like the Demolition Derby, but like there was also just a regular, like a minor league
NASCAR
race.
There was a stock car race.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best of the whole night was the trailer race.
Yeah, Demolition Derby. Everybody had to be pulling some sort of trailer.
That was it. Yeah, just old, like older American model cars. Like a lot of El Caminos and Ford LTDs and stuff out there.
Yeah.
And anything on a trailer.
Yeah.
And then one guy just had an empty trailer, and another guy had a boat, no trailer.
Yeah.
And like I was just dragging a boat. And I like to think they're just both really wanted to race. Like, all right, I think I got a way around the rules. And also, how are the rules to that?
Yeah, I don't know what the rules were.
Like, you know, at some point there's been a fight between two of the drivers, like, your fucking broken jet ski flew off.
Yeah, one guy had a jet ski on the back.
Your broken jet ski wasn't fastened properly in our trash race.
Oh, dude. First
fucking hillbilly Ben-Hur, your garbage wasn't affixed to your vehicle well enough.
Oh, dude, first time in my life I've ever tried to bribe somebody. I tried to bribe my way in.
Well, let's set the stage, all right? You just showed up at my house. You were already drunk, which is always a story because it's like, well, you drove your home here. So where'd you get drunk? Like, just sitting in the van out there for a while.
Well, I knew that
you were
driving.
You'll text me like, are you... All right, are you leaving? I'll be there at 5. But then I just to find out you're just sitting out in front of my house for hours.
Well, see, I knew that you were driving. I knew I had the night off as far as not having to drive. So I was like, well, You know, I'll knock a few. I'm going to a demolition derby.
Damn, that was
I'll knock
hard.
A few back.
That was hard to not drink at that.
But, yeah, and unbeknownst to me, it had sold out. So we get there. We drive all the way out there. I guess you guys had the foresight to buy your tickets in advance. I was like, I just thought it was going to be some real small, like, kind of like the equivalent of like a high school football game. You know, I thought there'd be 800 people there.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 10,000 people there.
That seemed, it seemed like, I'm terrible at guessing, like,
I think there was probably 10,000 people.
But it was, I mean, that whatever Irwindale Speedway capacity was.
Yeah, it was huge.
Oh, by the way, co-founder of Pinkberry beat a transient. He didn't kill him. He beat him.
With a tire iron?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we get out there. I'm so excited. Going to my first demolition derby. Got a little buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to the gate, and they're like, it's sold out. There's no tickets.
Yeah, tried to grease the wheels.
So I stood around. I was hoping maybe like I could buy some scalp tickets. I thought there'd be a scalper at the Demolition Derby. And,
can you imagine the scalping price? The original price was like $5.
Yeah. And so anyway, there's this huge line that kind of funnels into the main gate. And they were just – I could tell they weren't putting a lot of detail, you know, into checking the tickets or whatever.
No, nothing was organized.
So I had a $20 bill folded in half. Mm-hmm. And I get up to the gate and this dude, he's probably 19, just this dopey-looking dude. And I just go, this is my ticket, right? And he goes, what? And I go, this counts as a ticket, right? And he looked at me really funny. I go, this is my ticket. And he goes, sir, I can't do that. I go, come on, man. No one's looking.
You?
And I really was like forcing it on. I was like trying to shove it in his hand. He's like, sir, I'm sorry. Anybody thought about it. He
but you were like it. Shorts and a sleeveless shirt.
Yeah.
Smelling like whiskey. Like you look like you were just showing up there because you found out your ex-wife and her new boyfriend were there.
I was there to cause trouble.
Like you were just like sold out. Fuck, well, Charlene. My heart ain't sold out. There's still tickets left for it. I'm coming for you. You get booze breath trying to hot palm his way into the demolition derby.
A classy dude.
We got you a ticket.
Yeah,
bro.
Fortunately, somebody in our big party had an extra one.
Yeah. It was, and then there was like a damn good fireworks display afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Of which, yeah, all right. Fireworks are like the dumbest thing. Like people make fun of. It's the easiest thing to make fun of. Oh, explosions! Yay! Look at.
Hey.
It's fun. Then you know what? I'm simple.
Yeah.
I like the demolition derby. It was, you know what? Hell of a lot less violent than the horse races I went to 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where two horses died. Yeah. And there was a fight in the crowd.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
On a Saturday morning. Here we are on a Saturday night. A lot of people who look like they were ready to fight or just got done fighting or are planning on fighting, but after this. Just Inland Empire dudes.
Yeah. But man.
And it was fun.
Things that go smash, things that go boom.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Sign board.
And I grew up, you know, NASCAR is a huge part of like in the South. It's just everywhere. And of course now it's, you know, it's kind of a Southern thing, but it's so popular now that, you know, it's outside the South. But I never really cared too much about it, but it was like hockey. The same thing I hear about hockey is, oh, dude, you got to go see it live, you know. And I'd never seen NASCAR live or anything like that. And man, I enjoyed it. This is
that
fun.
Was fun.
Like that one. Like I think the first race, what was just a straight up stock car race.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those dudes were hauling ass.
Sure.
And
yeah.
It was probably what? That's about a 30-minute race. I don't know. Like, some of these NASCAR races are like 5 hours.
No, this was, I think, 40 laps.
40 laps.
And it was a little
track.
How long did
it take them to do that? I mean, it was at least 15, 20 minutes.
Maybe not even that.
But it was enough to be like, oh, that satiated my need for speed.
You do good in this circuit, then you move up. Like, it's like going to the independent book show for comedy. Like, this is where you got to hustle right now.
Yeah. I grew up in Woodstock, Georgia, and they have one that's been there for years called the Dixie Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And we live like 8 miles from the Dixie Speedway, but still, every Saturday night from my house, you could still
hear him going, and
we were like, wow, that's like eight miles away. Like, that is loud as shit.
So. Yeah, those engines, the rocket truck, which was kind of shit the bed. That wasn't that fun.
See, I missed that. That's when I was trying to sneak my way in. But yeah, that was a good time. That was a fun night.
Go see some Demolition Derby. Okay, yeah, it's probably stupid. Go see it. It's a blast.
What else going on, man?
I don't know, man. Well, we should probably talk about... All right, this is the last issue I want to talk about. So now I am over it. Mm-hmm. But I was a little upset when you got to the house today. Because I don't know if this is a rage issue thing.
Okay.
But a guy was like he was driving like a dick in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Just like not going when you're supposed to go. Just being a shitty, like not impactful, but just being lousy at driving.
Yeah.
So then I go to go around him, and he could tell that, so he speeds up so he wouldn't let me go around him. Like just being shitty, just being a dickheaded dude.
What kind of car?
A convertible Camaro with Nevada plates.
Shocking.
Nevada plates. That either means you're in California, either means you're driving a rental car so you don't know what the fuck you're doing, or you're from Nevada so you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like that's all it means. Like Nevada plates, fucking strike three immediately. If you're driving a car with Nevada plates, it means you've got your head up your ass behind the wheel. Yeah, and then it was right where there's a double turn. He like weaseled his way into the turn, like cut somebody off to get in the left turn. And I was like, if that guy, not through any fault of my own, but like in 15 minutes later, I somehow found out, oh, that guy died. I'd be like, yeah, so? Like I wouldn't, that interaction alone made me think like, you're not valuable.
Yeah.
You're like, you're just a dickhead. You think you're the number one? I mean, that's the impression I got right away. Like.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't mistakes. It was you being a dickhead and pulling power moves with a vehicle. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, every one of us has to die. So why shouldn't the shitty ones go sooner?
Hmm.
But then I was like, man, what does it say about me? Like, oh.
It's pretty harsh.
Is it? Is it harsh?
I mean, I have pretty intense road rage.
I mean, I don't say I want to kill him or anything. Like, I do. I wish death on... Like people a lot of the time.
Mm.
Like the TSA agent when I was coming back from New Year's traveling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who just fucked with me. Because I was impatient. We're trying to go. And she's just like smirking at stuff and being cute. I'm like, this is not time to be cute. Yeah, and I bitched about that.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. In my head, like I'll sit and like full focus my energy on her demise. If not death. Then I hope I gypsy curse.
I have very little tolerance for shitty drivers.
Fall out.
I have little tolerance for incompetent drivers and dickhead drivers because people could get hurt. Like
incompetence, one thing, but just being a dickhead.
But incompetence just as bad, in my opinion, because like get your head out of your ass, learn to drive. This is something we all do every day. Well, you know, if you live in a city. It's a car city, most of them, unless you live in like New York or something. But like, we all drive every day, and this is the best you can do?
Yeah.
Get off the road. You're putting lives in danger.
I wouldn't wish them death, but the dick and...
Yeah, not which, but
well,
yeah.
Well, I was thinking about that because I've been trying to watch The Leftovers,
mm-hmm.
the show, and it's about, I think, one-fifth of the population disappearing.
Hmm.
It's weird. We've talked about population control.
Yeah. Like all at once they disappeared?
All at once.
Wow.
So the premise, like it came out like maybe 2 or 3 years ago on HBO. And I was like, this premise is right up my alley. It's about the disappearance of people and what happens afterwards. Cults form. How is religion affected? How the behaviors of people, how does that affect? Like, ooh, this even pertains to the podcast now. And the show is so goddamn slow.
Really?
Like 3 or 4 episodes, I fell out of it. And then it was Karen Kilgariff. I just saw a text or a tweet where she's like, episode, whatever, said the title of it. I guess it was season 2. I was like, one of the best episodes of TV. I'm like, I'm back in.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just because one episode in season 2 is good. All these shows that people love, I've never seen. Game of Thrones, never seen it. Mad Men, never seen it. Walking Dead, never seen it.
Ditto, ditto, ditto.
Walking Dead should be, up my alley. Zombie thing came... Mm-hmm. It was like Pinkberry. It came and exploded way too much for me to get into it.
My problem is I find a show I love, and I'll watch it over and over and over.
You get stuck in the comfort of it.
I'm literally, no shit, Fargo, both season 1 and season 2, I've watched both seasons in completion 8 times. I'm on my 8th cycle.
All right. That's
it's a little much.
Yeah, that's
but
a lot.
Shows like that are so complex, like every time I watch it, I find new stuff and whatnot. I just started yesterday.
You could find a whole new show.
I just started True Detective Season 1 for the fourth time. I just started that again.
Did we talk about, we were talking about it after the podcast last time.
Oh, your theories?
I thought they were angels. I was getting back in a pot real heavy when that came out. And like, I had this brief moment of self-confidence. I was like, you just stop being paranoid when you're stoned and just speak what's on your mind. And I'm just at the bar like, I think they're angels. The True Detectives are angels. I did. I thought Woody Harrelson was like the fallen angel, and McConaughey is the one who's trying to save him.
Mm-hmm. Or would it be vice versa? Because it seemed like
McConaughey's trying to save. They're both trying to save. They're both broken.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Obviously, the theory falls apart.
Uh huh.
But I was convinced. I thought I had a real new angle on the whole thing.
Show is so good. Speaking of Fargo, I won't give any spoilers right now. But if anybody is fans of Fargo,
what
season
spoilers?
One, two,
everybody's seen them once.
I don't think. I've met a lot of people who hadn't seen Fargo yet.
Give any spoilers away, but after you watch it for the 15th time. I gotta say,
seriously, after you watch it for the 8th time, you really start to find some shit.
I can see it. You,
if anybody wants some like really interesting Easter eggs,
I can see
email
me. Okay, I could see earning. Yeah. I could tell it's like, yeah, definitely worth.
I got a
reviewing.
Couple of really good Easter eggs.
Can throw one out. Throw one teaser out there.
Okay, the hitman in season one, Adam Goldberg, and then the deaf guy.
Yeah,
they make a brief appearance in season two. Even though it's set 27 years earlier.
When season two was the...
And if you want to know when, email me and I'll tell you.
Season two was the family...
Yeah, the North Dakota.
And who is it comes up there? What town was it?
Where are they from?
Lincoln or something?
Yeah.
Still another rural town.
Put me
town.
On the spot, yeah. I can't. But season two is great. One more, Hanzi in season two. The Native American kind of henchman, he makes a brief appearance in season one.
Where is he in season one?
I don't want to give it away.
You can tell us.
Yeah. Okay. You want me to get
it? If anything, you're just going to make people go, now I got to watch that again. You're selling it.
The end of season two, the last episode, towards the end of the episode, wasn't the final scene, but kind of towards the end of the scene. Everything had come to its conclusion, and Hanzi, the Native American, is sitting. These are kind of connected. He's sitting in a baseball field.
Yeah.
And he's watching two young boys play baseball. Well, one of those boys is dark-headed. One of them's blonde-headed. The blonde-headed kid's deaf. They're doing sign language. That's clearly a reference to the hitman in season one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means like one of them was his son's or nephew or something, but anyway. But ironically, in the exact same scene, some dude shows up and gives him his new identity. Gives him a new ID and a new passport and all kinds of stuff. And he even talks about maybe getting plastic surgery, hiding his face and everything. And he says some of the exact same dialogue that in season one, real brief, I think midway through the season, it's the opening scene of this particular episode. It's when Key and Peele start showing up in the episodes and they're doing surveillance, watching this building.
I forgot they were in
that. That episode opens with the Fargo crime syndicate sitting in a Chinese restaurant, eating a bunch of crazy Chinese food. They're eating the fish and stuff. And the main guy, the big sinister leader, they're talking about, they're going over the books and like, what happened to Sam Hess? Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, well, he went. There's some Australian guy's like, well, you know, we think this guy did this, and two of our guys are doing that, and blah blah blah. And he's like, you know, don't care, not related, don't care, extramarital, dead, kill or be killed. That guy who's saying that, the boss man, that's Hanzi. 27 years later.
Now I gotta watch this.
Crazy.
You have really watched the fuck out of these shows.
Crazy. Those shows are great. Fargo is amazing. I can't wait for season three. Supposed to be any day now, I think. I thought they said it was coming out in March to 17, but...
No, it's coming out soon?
Yeah. And Ewan McGregor is in it, and I think he plays...
I like that
two.
Guy.
Thank you. Oh, one more thing. Not with Fargo, but Baskets. My God. Baskets is a funny show.
Haven't seen it.
Dude. Season one's kind of slow, but it gets better, and season two is great. But just reminded me, because Ewan McGregor's playing a twin brothers, I think. But Zach Galifianakis playing twin brothers, he's doing a lot of people know about the Seth Galifianakis character that he did on Comedians and Comedy Stuff. Well, he plays twin brothers in Baskets, and it's very similar to the Seth Galifianakis character. He's Southern and effeminate. But where the Seth character is just really passive and sweet, just a sweet Southern, effeminate guy. Similar character he plays, they're Chip and Dale. That's funny. They're twin brothers.
In Fargo?
Yeah. No, in Baskets. Now I'm talking about Baskets, Galifianakis. But the twin brother in Baskets, it's very Seth Galifianakis, but with like an edge. Like he's a dick. Like just still got that Southern effeminate. There's one scene where like he opens the fridge. Who put Twizzlers in the fridge? She's like, Sarah did. Looks like me and Sarah are going to have another Twizzler talk. He's just a real prick to everybody. But he's still got that Southern effeminate thing going. Oh, it's just brilliant. Baskets is good.
I know it's like the heyday of great television.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the new Fast and Furious movie.
Is there a new one?
Yeah, I saw a preview for this. And they're driving on like the Arctic, and a submarine pops up and knocks the car out. I was like, there was no way you were going to top the last one where you drove a car from one building through the sky into another building. I was like, you got my money. You got my money. F and F.
You love those. I've still not seen any of them.
And this one, you got a submarine finding them. It's, yes. And that's just the preview. And they always, every time I watch the movie, I'm like, they didn't even do that in the preview. The movie's always game on.
Wow. We wanted to talk about another TV show real briefly. Do you want to save that for next week?
Which TV show do we want to talk about?
Killing Bigfoot.
Well, that's, okay, yeah, that's going to finally cross over into the subject matter of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Killing Bigfoot.
How's that going to cross over to our topic today?
No, just the fact that we're a podcast about the supernatural and we've been pulling our dicks about TV shows.
I thought you meant today's
Fast and Carl's Jr. for a half hour.
We could save it, yeah.
But
Killing Bigfoot.
No, we should talk about it.
Talk about it now? Okay. All right.
Unless you think we got so much.
I mean, we got a lot to talk about today with our topic.
I haven't seen Killing Bigfoot either.
I saw it last night.
I should watch one. Well, that was my complaint last time. Why don't you find it first?
Yeah.
You just announce that. How uniquely American. We're going to kill it. You don't even know if it's real, but you're already announcing you're going to kill it.
Yeah. And the format is the exact same of all those stupid shows. Finding Bigfoot. It's the same format.
All the shows about the stuff I want to believe in make me believe in it less.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it really...
There was a good video of a Brazilian haunted house that I just saw while I was at the laundromat today. It was kind of creepy.
I think I saw
like
that one.
Slamming furnace door or something.
Yeah.
I was watching my phone in the laundromat, so I couldn't really get into it.
Yeah.
But I need to...
Killing Bigfoot, just another horseshit Bigfoot show. They're not doing us any favors in the Bigfoot community. Churning out these lame-ass shows.
18 months, you're going to be marrying Bigfoot. It's going to be just like The Bachelor, except it'll be like a half-eaten rabbit that's left in front of a woman's tent in the morning.
I watched an episode last night, and one of the main guys, they're at like a town hall meeting, and like there's different factions. Like this crew wants to kill Bigfoot, and this other crew wants to – they're a no-kill Bigfoot organization. It's the GC Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research.
Where is this?
This is in Louisiana and Texas, the Gulf, the crew they're following is the GCBFR or BFO or something, Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Association, not to be confused with the ETBFRO, the East Texas Bigfoot Field Research Association, which I've
there doesn't need to be this many associations. don't need to be.
But this crew, they're wearing, it's just a bunch of deer hunters and ex cops and ex veterans or. You're not an ex veteran.
Texas and Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, shot Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops. It was just, it turns out it was just a Mexican guy jumping the border. Darn it. Oh, can't believe it. Bummer. Bad one on us. Anyway, back out there, boys.
But yeah, and like this guy's hosting a town hall meeting, and anytime someone objects, he just ends, oh, well, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, geez.
Sounds like he's right.
Hear him out. No, like the guy who wants to kill Bigfoot. And other people are like, why? You shouldn't kill Bigfoot. Hey, you sit down. You're stupid. Just yelling at people. Like, God.
So they just, what channel? The Animal Planet or Discovery? Like, they just.
Destination America, that's which just is one the of bottom these, feeder of those types of programs.
Yeah.
All the shows on that channel suck. I mean, I'd like to host a show if anybody from Destination America. But it really is like the minor league of that type of shit. Like,
but it's not even like it's just we found an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you did to come in with. What's your pitch for a show? Look at this idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to follow him around? What's the Kill Bigfoot. You had me at idiot. Here's 12 episodes.
They got another show called Mountain Monsters. And it's just a bunch of hillbillies just in the mountains. What was that? Shoot it. Just like, ugh. It's Real Housewives for the Appalachian.
Well, it's cheap. Yeah, it's cheap to just throw something at the wall and see if it sticks.
Oh, man, I hate that shit.
Send a crew out and found these, you know, these podunks around.
Ugh.
Well,
I'm just conflicted because I love the subject matter.
The same here, man. Yeah. That's why. Like every time I watch some on TV about it, it takes the wonder away from it in the wrong direction. It's not proving it to be real. It's just discrediting. It's disinformation.
Yeah. Oh, well. Look out. There it is.
Oh, it's gurgly.
Want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Well, I think this is a fun one today. This is kind of in our wheelhouse as far as...
pertinent.
Yeah.
Time-sensitive and pertinent.
Yeah. It is timely, topical. Big Brother. Talk about old Big Brother.
Yeah. The surveillance state that came out in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the NSA? Or mm-hmm. What everybody suspected was true, that every device could be used to spy.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't, even if your mind is not, you know, currently set on conspiracies and things like that, just think of from a logistical point of view, you know, all the cameras and...
Yeah.
Just the recording
every device,
devices.
Yeah, every device is a camera.
And it's all linked to a network. I mean... Your laptop, your iPhone, all this stuff. So anyway, what was it that came out in the news recently? Was it the Alexa thing?
I thought it was just that the CIA was just confirmed that the CIA has the potential to hack all your TV, all these devices that have a camera or a microphone, which does, seems – I wasn't surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this all kind of started coming into the public consciousness – about 3 years ago when Edward Snowden made his revelations. And you remember some of the details with that.
Edward Snowden and Julian Assange.
Mm-hmm, Assange.
The same person to me. I don't know. You fucking got me.
Yeah. Well, Snowden, they
one
really...
One looks like Steve Hofstetter. The other guy looks like he got...
Oh, jeez.
Kicked out of Genesis in the 80s.
Snowden, he was responsible for the he worked for the NSA, and about 3 years ago, he downloaded 200,000 files. Okay. He was doing something for him. He was based out of Hawaii, and he downloaded 200,000 files.
So what, Hawaii wasn't good enough for you?
Then he went to Hong Kong.
I'm sure sick of paradise. Why don't I fuck the world up?
And that's when I first started hearing about a lot of this stuff, although, I mean, it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
But it really started coming out. Into the zeitgeist when Snowden made all his stuff. And just a couple of quick bullet points. I won't rehash all 200,000 files that he dropped. But things like he revealed that there are definitely secret court orders that allow the NSA to access phone records. And then it was later revealed that Verizon had provided all of its customers' phone records to the NSA. Like just... Here you go, NSA. Whatever we can do to help.
I have Verizon.
Yeah, and then several other phone companies have done the same thing. But Verizon was the first that got ratted out.
Remember that being a big deal with the San Bernardino shooter? That they're like, oh, well, if we do that, if we let you hack. What was it? They wouldn't let them go into their phone?
The police department or whoever, the FBI, they got his phone. And then they were like, hey, Apple, can we get into his phone to make sure that there's not more information, and Apple didn't want to do it. Which, I mean, that poses a good question.
If you're a murderer, you forego your rights.
Mm-hmm. But I think it was the ethical issue of, like, Apple being like, and, like, I think they were, it was setting a precedent that they were now anytime you guys have probable cause, we're supposed to just hack into somebody's phone. So... I still don't know how to feel about that. Like,
because right away the knee jerk rings. Like, well, these guys are murderers and terrorists, and yes, let them go through the phone.
But then
what other thing? Like,
it's just it's a slippery slope.
We were talking about before. We talk like things that are implemented that mean well, but then can be abused later on. Policies,
yeah, and all this that I'm about to talk about, like all this spy stuff and Big Brother stuff. You know, the government could spin it, and initially it might make sense as far as like, well, we're doing some of this because of this reason, A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, A, B, and C. That okay, that kind of makes sense. But then once you're not looking, we're going to do, you know, D, E, F, and G. Like,
yeah. Who was George H. W. Bush talking about Trump? He's like, well, the power is. So I'm paraphrasing what he said, but just about like the power of the presidency is intoxicating, and you get full like think like these policymakers of like, well, we're spy, we have to spy on people. It's for the good of everything, but we can also know everything. Like, how, like it's intoxicating to have access to that power.
And where's the line? You know, when do the powers that be say, all right, this is enough. Now we're crossing into some ethical.
Yeah. Like at what point is it like your neighbors, you know, leaving their blinds open? Like, well, like, they shouldn't do that. Well, I'm looking. Well, now they know the blinds are open. It's like, no, you don't. It's not the point.
Yeah.
Just because you can, you don't.
Exactly. Some other stuff that came out in Snowden's revelations. Prism. You know about Prism. It was this program. It allowed the NSA access to servers of like every like Google, Facebook, AOL, Microsoft, YouTube, several more
search histories.
Yeah, just here's access to the search history and the servers of all these huge companies. All this data. It talks about the GCHQ,
old skateboard videos, and bigboobsalert.com. Not breaking down my door anytime soon.
Exactly. Well, okay, and I was going to wait to get into this, but like, all right, what we're talking about is just the government spying on us. And every device that we have now is slowly starting to be revealed, like, oh, you know, your iPhone, your but everything, even smart TVs, Xboxes. But my point is, like, all right, there's 300 and something million people just in America. Like, are they going to monitor all of us?
Yeah, well, what are the flags? That would be interesting to know. What are the flags that make them go, oh, let's take a look at this guy?
Well, there definitely are, like, search words if you search certain things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Which I'm sure every 15-year-old, like, oh, look what I typed in your Google. You know?
Exactly.
It's the whole positive, well, I don't want them looking at my stuff. Well, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? It's because I don't want to look. It's a circular argument.
Yeah, it's the principle. I get it. Like, yeah, I get both argument. Like, yeah, well, if you got nothing to hide, but at the same time, still, get out of here. Stop looking at my shit.
What about the things that are fine now that will change later on?
Okay, such as?
Well, for gun nuts, now they'd be like, oh, what, like buying stuff from out of state. Like, I want to buy guns that aren't legal in my state. Like, okay, well, the government is never going to regulate that because the NRA has too much money and it's into the corporate interests. So that you're fine, gun nuts.
Yeah,
you're fucking fine. But what if it is, I'm trying to think of like a drug nature or something. Like, well, no, I just heard this is like mushrooms are illegal, but they're plants. What if there's some other plant out there you want to research? Oh, you know, salvia or something.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a drug hit on us. We'll look at him. What if it's, I don't know. I don't want to say that. But what if it's of a sexually deviant nature?
Mm-hmm.
But still within the law, but whatever your fetish or, what if that, okay, well, no. Or if it's just that they'll out you for anything, whatever you've looked up now, politically, like what's going on now.
Yeah.
Like these things that can be hacked. Like, oh, well, this is your search history. Oh, yeah, it was supposed to be private. Well, it's not. Can you explain this? Well, I didn't think I had to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And would you think differently, even though you think it should be private, if you saw somebody's search history and saw the stuff they looked up, like, oh, fuck, I'm glad I didn't vote for that guy.
Yeah.
Glad I didn't marry that person, go into business with that person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, man. Like, you know, pulling the curtain back to what we're all doing. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of this is connected. It kind of started, you know, I was talking about Snowden, but it even started earlier, you know, back, I guess, 9/11, like when the Patriot Act,
yeah,
you know, that opened a lot of doors for NSA and CIA to do a lot of this stuff. It dates all the way back to the 20s. It's called the Black Chamber. Right after World War I, the Black Chamber was this this operation to where they didn't have the NSA wasn't around back then, but they still had some. I forgot the name of, but they had some intelligence agencies. But they were accessing Western Union Telegram's customer base and getting, like, seeing what kind of telegrams people were sending all the way back in the early 20s. So that was kind of
the thing about back then, like, hacking that mean, give me that envelope.
Yeah.
Let me read that letter before you mail it.
Just barging into the office and taking a bunch of the envelopes.
Give me that. Now it's all coding.
But, like, I mean, think about the stuff in our everyday life that, you know, and I don't want to sound paranoid, you know. I know the whole subject matter, what we talk about here on the Boogie Monster is like, see, to be like, oh, these guys just paranoid and fear-mongering, but
it's being proven.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously we talked about phones and laptops. I even just today put the black tape over my laptop.
Always had
my
tape
laptop
over that. That was proven that they could hack into that stuff.
But think about other things, like even something as simple as like license plate readers, like when you're going through toll booths and stuff. I mean, they're taking photographs of every license plate that goes through these toll booths. And I have a question about that because I used to know, like, all right, like in Georgia, I knew, for example, like it was illegal for the cops to just randomly run license plates. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to. I don't know if those laws have changed. I don't know what they are from state to state. But back in the day, I had some buddies that were in law enforcement and whatever. But you couldn't just – a cop just couldn't arbitrarily run license plates. They had to at least articulate that, like, oh, we've – a lot of Honda Accords have been getting stolen, so I ran those plates.
Probable cause, which means pull anything out of your ass. Like, you know how many times as a teenager remember you out of the car? Why? It smells like weed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my buddy Kelly, I don't smoke weed. I've never had anybody that smoked weed in this car.
Well, there's an even vaguer step below probable cause that they call articulable suspicion. Where probable cause is, I have reason to believe that you broke the law. Articulable suspicion. That's ironic that I can't say articulable. It's even more vague to where, like, yeah, I just kind of maybe thought something, huh?
I'm copping around.
But they at least had to have articulable suspicion to run random people's license plates.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because if something were to come out of that, if they were to make an arrest based on that when it got to court, well, Officer Smith, why did you run his license plate?
Yeah.
But now they're just taking pictures at toll booths and bridges and stuff. These license plate readers are just taking pictures of every car that goes by and putting that data into a database.
And if that information means, oh, we found out this girl that was kidnapped, we caught her right away, Amber Alert, like, I would be emotionally swayed to, like, be like, nah, okay, I don't have anything to hide. Well, until
that's the dilemma.
Until the paranoia of... Mm-hmm. Oh, the cops want to bust me for something I didn't do. I need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And now, oh, I don't agree with the fact that you read my plates. That was the thing when they started putting the cameras in Chicago, that they could just give you speeding tickets without ever being present,
mm-hmm.
because they can calculate the time that you pass one camera and then the next camera.
That's some bullshit.
And if it's under a certain amount of time, it means you at some point you were speeding.
Mm-hmm.
They never did, but that was that was one of the theories somebody told me. Like, ooh, that does.
I think they tried to do that out, in Florida, like, at some of the turnpikes. Like when you're going from mile 1 to mile 20, if you got there too soon, it's like, well, you were speeding.
Yeah, at some point you were speeding.
Yeah, but yeah, and now what they call public space cameras. You know, next time you're downtown or wherever, just look around, look up, and just notice
CCTV,
how many.
London's got them everywhere.
Yeah, in all the big cities. I mean, right here in L.A., there's, you know, and a lot of them started with, like, for traffic enforcement, not necessarily the speeding ticket thing that you're talking about, but running red lights. You know, that's a big thing now.
Well, yeah,
sending you a ticket in the mail for running a red light. But, like, man, just everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. Drones, with the influx of drones now. They're using drones to just wander around and take pictures, and there's facial recognition software that they're using now. I mean, this is some total George Orwell shit.
Like, we're both here like, man, yeah, it's real fucked up. There's cameras anywhere. Anyway, if you want to give us a TV show, that would be great. We'd love to do some on-camera work. Let me do some voluntary on camera work.
Exactly. Well, I was thinking about that today, like especially, you know.
That's paranoia when you get paranoid of the security cameras on set of a TV show.
Being kind of remotely in the public eye, such as ourselves, in the sense that I was thinking about this. Like, I post my tour schedule, you know.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, you know, I mean, obviously that's kind of part of our job is to put ourselves out there and promote our stuff and, hey, come see me do a show. But at the same time, it's like, oh, anybody – like when I do these big tours, like anybody is going to know where I'm at on a day-to-day basis from a specific – not just city, but the venue and the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people like us are just so easy to track.
Yeah.
And we're voluntarily putting anything out there, but that's
– yeah, and if somebody knows where you live, you know.
Just part of it. I won't. Yeah.
I think about that sometimes too. Like, well, there was a road comic from back in the day that got busted. This isn't quite tying into this. It's more of just a disgusting criminal who's also not bright, but he was like sexually assaulting victims on college campuses, and they realized that his tour schedule lined up.
Did we talk about that before? Maybe we talked about that off.
Did we? I know. I mean, it's been, I know amongst comics, like,
yeah, maybe I was talking to somebody else.
The guy.
That. Not to be confused with the other guy who may or may not rape somebody a few years ago up in Minnesota. There was a comic.
Oh, that's just a fucking.
That dipshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
This was like a road guy, and then the police were like looking together, like, oh, wait a minute. This guy's been at all these colleges every time these things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, that's where. Putting your schedule out there incriminated you, luckily, because you're a fucking scumbag.
On a similar vein, I've talked to you about Wheeler Walker Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. He's so ridiculous, but
yeah,
so funny. He tongue-in-cheek. He was on Rogan's podcast, and he tongue-in-cheek implied that Sturgill Simpson was an assassin for the CIA. he's like, hey, man, look at his tour dates. Look at his schedule. And then enemies of the state just wind up being dead, and it matches up. So funny. Sturgill Simpson's out there assassinating people for the government.
What's his name's cover?
Who's
Barris.
Yeah, yeah.
The Gong Show guy.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I think that's a guy with just a real good story. I don't buy it, but I was like, good story, man.
Now they're talking about, all right, I mentioned it briefly, but, and beyond the security issues and the surveillance issues, Alexa.
Yeah.
Siri. I don't like this shit. This makes me sound like an old man.
I'm doing jokes about that right now. I've been doing jokes. And the same thing of like, I don't want to sound like old tech. Is technophobe the right word? Does that mean you're afraid of technology or afraid of dance music?
Either one.
I'm a real discophobe.
It's not enough that in my phone I have access to almost any piece of information I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can't even take the time to type it out. Just, Alexa, I don't want to put forth any effort. Just give me everything immediately now.
That's what I was telling you before. Even more upsetting than having a robot know my voice is when it doesn't recognize my voice. Like, where I'm like, all right, I give in. Hey, Siri, we'll do a thing. It's like, I don't understand the question. I'm like, you fucking bitch. You bitch. You got me to do this, and now I'm doing it, and you're telling me I'm doing it wrong. And I think you should have to say please first, because I think it's teaching people to be rude.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't – why does that bother me? Like, just – put forth achieve something on your own. Put forth some effort on your own behalf. But just like a king, just summoning, bring me this and bring me that and give me all the answers. At least type it out.
I just feel uncomfortable talking to something that's not a person. I talk to an animal.
Mm-hmm.
With ease,
mm-hmm.
But to talk to a robot, I don't know why.
Well,
it's old time. We're just old time.
Yeah, I guess I'm. But something about that has always bothered me. Like in Siri before that, and I was doing a project and filming a thing one time a few years ago, and had this crew.
They gave it a human name. That's
this crew was with me, and they were all great dudes, but, like, every one of them was just, Siri, give me directions to the nearest Red Roof Inn.
Yeah.
And it's like, at least just stop and Google it yourself, because then at least it feels like you achieved something.
But the tech now, but what? I don't feel I achieved something.
Not like, achieved, like, I think you solved a problem. You put forth a little effort to solve a daily problem.
Well, you also solved the problem of having to use your gorilla fingers to text on a stupid phone.
I don't know. I get it.
I don't,
it's not a strong case, but still.
No, I don't condemn it. Personally, it bothers me, but I totally understand why it's. Why people like it. Rachel has the Amazon Echo. That's the Alexa one. And that's like, yeah, I'm just in another room and I want to hear a song. They play the song. The fucking not remembering the name of
I think it's just leading us down
towards the singularity.
Yeah. Yes.
We're not even inching anymore. We're moving towards the point.
Voluntarily.
Where the yes. And so what? You want population control? We're the lemurs following the fucking glowing orb off the cliff. Following the glowing Apple logo off the cliff right now, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe we're part of the people that shouldn't be here anymore, Dave.
Not me. I don't use Alexa. I don't use GPS.
It doesn't
matter. I solve some shit on my own. I solve my own damn problems.
You use GPS sometimes.
Not in the city I live in.
GPS is great. That's an amazing invention.
It's great for certain things, but it's also making us dumb as shit. We've got friends who have lived in this city for 10 years that can't get around without it. And that's a problem.
If you had lived here when everybody had a Thomas guy, you know what's worse than somebody looking at GPS on a phone? Is somebody trying to read a 250-page book of maps of
while their
one
cars move.
City? Yeah.
But at least that can taught
know why?
You how to solve a problem.
Because it doesn't move along with you. It doesn't. You have to.
Ugh. Did you want to talk about our little experiment?
Oh, yeah.
I think we definitely should do this.
This is a good idea. As was addressed in a previous episode, that we don't. What was it? That if you're just talking around your phone, things will show up?
There's been some rumors.
Or text messages.
I think
people had written in.
Everybody knows that, like, if you're Googling some stuff and posting some stuff about a certain thing, then you'll start seeing personalized ads for it. You know, if I start Googling mountain bikes, eventually there's going to be mountain bike ads on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
But I have friends, and then we've had listeners write and call in. right. They sent letters talking about the same concept, but with just phone calls and text. You know, I was texting my buddy, for the sake of this example, about a mountain bike, and next thing I know, I'm getting mountain bike ads, even though I've not Googled mountain bike, I haven't posted shit about mountain bike, just texting and phone calls about certain products or whatever, and starting to see ads for it.
So what
does that mean?
What should we... we were joking earlier, I was like, all right, I will leave you a voicemail that says I'm really thinking about buying a pogo stick. But what are the odds that major pogo stick manufacturers are dumping money into cyber spyware advertising ploys? You know, I don't think pogo sticks have that kind of money behind it.
True, that may not be. But it has to be. That's a great example in the sense
of like a corporate brand.
It needs to be a product that we have or would never Google or, you know, talk about ourselves.
So what's your product?
I don't know. I was brainstorming today trying to find like the right product, you know, and I don't know, crystals or some sort of weird herb or vitamin that I would never.
What about just like Pepsi? I'm thinking now I've never seen Pepsi ads online.
Okay.
But like, I'm holding my phone up. I can't call you down in the annex.
The irony is I initiated this conversation, this idea between us I purposely was like, well, I can't text in this, so I'll do Facebook Messenger. Because maybe they're not looking at that.
maybe the NSA isn't on the way to Facebook yet. They're still going through.
Let's do pogo sticks. Just to see. Let's start texting each other about pogo sticks.
I'm just saying, you think the viral marketing team... at Jeremy's Pogo Sticks has the money
Okay.
To listen in to phones.
Let's do weird herbs. Let me start talking to you about bee pollen and ginkgo biloba.
Yeah, man.
And see if we start weird getting ads for that.
Weird herbs.
I do think it's a fun little experiment.
I want, because people were saying that they were just having a conversation and all of a sudden it was showing up.
Yeah, and that's creepy as hell. And what that means is somebody.
You're being listened to.
The NSA or somebody is, you know, granted, the NSA doesn't give a shit about us getting pogo sticks, but what they are doing is they're gathering, they're listening to us in general. Mm-hmm. So they're gathering that data and then selling it to marketing firms and stuff like that.
Well, don't they already have things like a smart TV?
Yes.
That will take a picture of the inside of your refrigerator and send it to you so you know it's in there.
What? I didn't know that. I was about to start talking about smart TVs because that's
not smart TV. It's a smart refrigerator.
Okay. I was about to say, how does that work?
Hey, TV, goes over the kitchen.
Yeah, you pull it off the wall.
Hey, TV, we got any orange juice left? Hold on. Let me check. Hold on, Jeremy, of Jeremy's Pogo Stick fame. I can't believe all this disposable income you got from Pogo Sticks that you bought the first TV that can go look for orange juice in the refrigerator. Hot damn, these Jeremy's Pogo Sticks. Now if I set it up, now it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, smart TV is a major thing now as far as, I mean, it's essentially a computer. A smart TV is just a computer.
Yeah.
But, like, it's looking in. I mean, it's got a camera. It can see what's going on. It's putting ads. And depending on what you're watching and what you're searching on Netflix and whatnot, you're getting ads based on that. I mean, we're just inviting all kinds of, this is 1984 shit, man. It's really creepy. RFID chips. You know about RFID chips?
You were saying that was like the
radio frequency identification.
Low jacks. Like basically.
Yeah, it's like a human low jack.
Yeah.
And it's already been around for years for pets, which, you know, I don't have problems with that.
As soon as you found out they put those in pets, like, you know they're putting those in people somewhere.
Absolutely.
Like, as soon as, like, no. It's just pets.
Yeah.
Bullshit. As soon as you found out you could track somebody.
Yep. Yeah, they tried to do it in a school system. In 2004, the Spring Independent School District near Houston, they tried to do that. Of course, they were doing it with lanyards. They weren't technically injecting the thing.
Okay.
The thing is like the size of a grain of rice. But they tried that, and then eventually the parents were like, nah. They tried it again in 2012, the Northside Independent School District near San Antonio. They were like, yeah, we got to keep track of all these students. So they were handing out lanyards. And they had the little chip in the lanyard. And
what about
keep track of everybody?
What about like sexual predators?
That I don't have a problem with. I have zero problem with that. Like you mentioned earlier, when you commit a crime to that magnitude, you lose your rights.
What about the slippery slope of like someone's 19, his girlfriend was 17, was consensual?
Well, that's a whole other issue in general, as far as you know. I still don't think statutory rape should necessarily be.
Should
be a case by case basis. I've got buddies that are on a sexual offenders list because he was 17 and had sex with a 15-year-old consensually, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. But I'm not condoning statutory rape. But a junior in high school and a freshman in high school dating
two high school kids
and consensually have sex. That guy shouldn't be put in the same category as a serial rapist
molester. Like, now all of a sudden, do you have to go? You know, door to door in your neighborhood.
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of times, I mean, it is kind of a state by state basis, but I think a lot of times those guys are just lumped in there with your traditional run of the mill sex offender.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, okay, now you're tracking criminals. I don't know. Like, where are the rights?
I mean, how's that different from wearing an ankle bracelet? You know, people who are on house arrest and probation.
Well, house arrest is still part of the punishment. I mean, like, you've done everything. Mm-hmm. You're out of prison.
Mm-hmm. But we're still going to put this bracelet on you.
We will know where you are at all times.
Mm-hmm. For the duration of your probation, 5 or 10 years or whatever.
I guess for probation, yeah. I was thinking it's for life. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure some of them might do it for life. I don't know.
I'm sure this has been employed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all their spies have it. Why wouldn't?
Well, what's
like not journalists and stuff, but the spies probably have it.
Mm-hmm.
Navy SEALs,
Yeah.
Navy SEAL gets kidnapped. Or no, because then they could hack in, find out exactly where Navy SEALs are. I don't know. Just going out there with it.
Well, I mean, it's a scary thing in general, but also if you think about like what I said with Snowden's revelations there with Verizon just willingly handing over all this shit. In 2013, Bloomberg.com reported that the NSA had inserted codes into the Android operating system. So Android, I'm assuming they were like, sure, whatever, go ahead. Like, I mean, it's one thing for them to like clandestinely do it, you know, behind Apple and Android's back. But for Android to just be like, yeah, you can put your shit in our phones.
We're a private company, but go ahead. And
I mean, that's creepy.
Yeah. Why wouldn't car companies have it?
Well, that's another thing. Speaking of car companies, now, you know, especially the higher end cars. You know, there's kind of like a black box. It's essentially the same concept as a black box in an airplane. But think of all the electronic data, you know, in some of these high-end cars as far as everything's operated, you know, the way it's all connected and all the data that's collected as far as GPS tracking and gas mileage and just all this stuff. And, I mean, there's just dozens of different avenues that technology is taking to kind of
it's very easy to go down the paranoia wormhole with technology.
Yeah,
the creepy thing is how it's being proven.
Exactly. It is currently every day we're finding out new shit. So that's why I'm
and
fine discussing this and not sounding like just some paranoid weirdo.
Yeah, they've made it a necessity. They've made smartphones become a necessity.
Yeah,
which is why everybody was jumping all over. It was like Paul Ryan when they came out with the Trump Care.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you just have to decide if you need that brand new iPhone or if you want health insurance. Like, you fucking asshole. It's a necessary tool for survival in the modern age, more or less.
Yeah.
Well, as we say this, into technology to be distributed through technology and consumed with technology.
I'll throw out one last little point as far as in fact here. Operation Dishfire. That's something that was revealed in Snowden's revelations.
Operation Dishfire.
Operation Dishfire. NSA collects over 2 million text messages every day. Every day they're just snatching 2 million texts and putting them in their database.
That's not... How many texts do you think happen?
I mean, yeah, that's not
probably
a lot.
2 million texts that happen.
That's a small percentage, but still, I mean,
of people they're listening to
every day, 2 million texts
of people they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I bet anybody using a payphone is committing a crime. Anybody still using a payphone? Criminal.
Oh man,
you're a criminal.
You don't see many anymore. Every now and then you'll see like that lone.
Yeah. Like, you know who's using it? Criminal.
Maybe they're not criminals. Maybe they just don't want the government listening.
No fucking way. Criminal. if you don't want the government listening, probably because you're committing a crime.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but like, and I'm not condoning what he did, but you kind of understand where Ted Kaczynski was coming from.
All right, Dave. You already live in a van. Fucking tread lightly,
Dave. I'm not going to mail bombs to anybody, but his manifesto and his views on anti-technology. All right. Just digging a hole.
Just, yeah. Hey, buddy.
That came out wrong.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of which, I found a new spot next to Carl's
Speaking
Jr.
Speaking of which. Yeah.
Got a new spot next to Carl. Even though I don't like their food.
Carl's
they do have,
Jr.
They have pretty good Wi-Fi and it goes out. It's got a good range. So I don't even have to park in their parking lot to use their Wi-Fi.
Where is it?
I can't. Well, I don't want to give out my locations.
Oh, that's right. It's true. Yeah, we're being secretive.
What are we talking about here?
A learning annex? Nobody knows about this place.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well... In short...
Well, how do we solve this?
I believe in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at the end of these, I should have a believe or a disbelieve.
Yeah.
I absolutely. The proof's there. The proof's there on this one. And part of me is like, oh, yeah, this does suck, but I don't think I'm doing anything. I mean, also, being a comedian where I've already told the worst thing to just strangers. Like, fuck me, Google my search history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, thank God I didn't have it. I mean, I had the internet, I think, was using it to look up porn and maybe, shit, like, I was 20 years old, maybe.
Really?
Like, that's, yeah, slow ass. Talking 19, that's 1996.
Hmm.
Right? Around that era.
Did you know about the internet when you were in high school?
No. I don't think I did. I didn't get an email address until 2000. And I didn't know. That was like the kids that were like making all the money. This one kid, John, we're in the library, the public library. Not even the high school library, the town library. And he's like, oh, watch this. And we're in like ooh, the Dewey Decimal System is on. The card catalog's now on computers. So you can just look up books on the computer. Uh-huh. He's like, watch this. He's just clicking around and he just brings up the payroll for all the employees at the library.
Wow.
Like all the government employees. Like, eh, cool, right? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, oh, that's where hacking started, when it was all brand new and it was kids that were like, how are you supposed to learn language when you're younger?
Yeah.
Because you're more malleable.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple kids in my high school like, oh, yeah, watch this.
Yeah, I never heard of the internet or the World Wide Web until I was in college. My freshman year of college, and it wasn't even a college thing. I remember it specifically. I was a fan of Rage Against the Machine, and when their second album came out in 96 –
you were telling me about that.
Evil Empire. Me and my buddy was a bigger fan than I was, so we got the new album, and you know, back when you would buy the actual CD, and looking through the liner notes, and they said, you know, if a band you like, you just scrolled and you looked at every word in those liner notes. And I remember towards the bottom it said, visit us on the World Wide Web at www.rageagainstthemachine.com, and we were like, what the hell is that?
Rage Against the Machine signing up for the surveillance state early on.
Yeah.
They're part of the whole problem. They're false rebellion.
Yeah. And I went and I figured out – it took me a minute to even figure out like what does that mean?
I didn't know what it meant.
And somebody was like, oh, it's a website. You go on your computer. Mm. And then I that's the first website I ever visited. And I remember telling my buddy the next day like, it's just – you just type in this code and like it's just a bunch of pictures of the band. And like I was – the first time of actually having to describe the concept of a website.
I remember my buddy trying to explain email. I was like, no, it's mail. Like somebody will send you a message and you open it and it's in your mailbox. Like, where is it? It's on
what
the computer.
Mailbox?
Like, all right, boy. So the computer gives me the directions.
So I got to get like hook it up to a printer.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, where? Yeah. I just couldn't understand that it was not physical.
Yeah. I mean,
where?
You know, if you lived your whole life, I mean, that's why, you know, people make fun of, you know, like our parents' generation. But, like, you spent the first 50, 60 years of your life not owning a computer, and then all of a sudden the whole world just changes over to it.
It's
going to take a while.
It's a tool.
We're old, man.
We're tools. Well, shit on a shingle.
Yeah, I don't know how to circumvent these issues. Maybe, you know.
I think it's real. I think it's getting worse. I think, every... Ooh, well, we hacked in the thing, and Russia hacked this, and hackety hack, 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 hack. Well, fucking don't put your important shit on there. I got fucked with Chase. Somebody made a PayPal account, got my account information, and was taking money out of there. And again, I don't know. I don't carry cash around. I like using a debit card wherever. Fortunately, God forbid I actually say something nice about the evils of major banks, but Chase... handled it, reimbursed my money, investigated it for fraud.
I'll say this. Anybody wants to steal my identity, go right ahead. Probably have fun with that beacon score.
What are you going to do, steal your mail?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure this is a topic that we'll revisit from time to time as new things start to arise.
Yeah. The way things are going.
Changing gears real quick. I want to give a shout out to Tim Ray at headsweats.com. Gave us some dope hats. Sent us a couple of really cool Bigfoot hats.
Yeah.
So if you guys are looking for some Squatch gear, and that's not all they do. They do all kind of hats, but headsweats.com. So, yeah, big thanks to Tim Ray for that. You got anything to plug? This comes out on the 21st.
Does it now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, sorry for the phone sounds, by the way, anybody.
I'll plug a couple dates while you're figuring yours out. I'll be in Colorado in April. April 6th, I'll be in Glenwood Springs, Colorado at the Glenwood Vaudeville Review. April 8th, I'm in Denver at the Blackbird Public House. April 9th, Boulder, Colorado at the Bohemian Beer Garden. So, Colorado folks, come see me in April. I'll be wandering around. Ah, I love Colorado. So beautiful.
Lovely place.
Gosh.
It's been a minute since I've been out there.
Awesome.
I'm going to go. I'm going to be at Wes and Kristen's wedding.
Oh, right, right. Shout out to our buddy.
Plug that.
Wes Van Horn and Kristen Rand.
Want to plug their wedding? I'll be at that. They are doing a fun show. I forget where it is, but it's in Birmingham. Like, honestly, if you're anywhere near Birmingham, it's Saturday the 25th. I'll get the info, but they're putting a show on. But it's everybody like that's gonna go to the wedding.
Wow!
So there's all these like really great comics coming to town to go to this wedding, and they're all are gonna be on the they're doing the show.
Okay,
Kristen's just putting on a show that Saturday night.
And if I know Wes, I could bet that that wedding's gonna be catered to a T.
Oh yeah, he's
Wes got works for a big restaurant group now.
And they're good restaurants.
Oh, man.
I was at one of the restaurants. I was at like a Vietnamese or a Thai restaurant, and he brought me a burger from another restaurant to eat while I'm eating the Thai food.
Yeah.
And we just look like maniacs.
Yeah. Shout out to Little Donkey. Little Donkey's part of that group. Jim and Nick's Barbecue. Several others. But yeah, the food's going to be good at that wedding, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, you know what we're overdue for, Dave?
Speaking of food.
Speaking of which.
Haven't done a recipe in a while.
No.
So I thought, you know, here's a... And this one's real simple. It's just so easy. This is... A lot of my recipes are functional. Like, you just... These are things that everybody should know how to make.
They turn out to be food, which you can eat to stay alive.
You know, if you like...
Real functional.
Put certain ingredients together in a certain way, then you can eat them. But no, like, I don't do, like, a lot of frou-frou fancy shit, you know, just... Stuff that even if you're not a good cook, you can make
some basic whip 'em ups.
That's the name of the cookbook, by the way.
Some whip 'em ups, basic whip 'em ups.
We got to do a Boogie Monster cookbook.
That's all you.
Man. There's a demand for it, but man, I've been trying to stick to the keto thing this week. Haven't had bread in like 5 days. I'm about to,
man, you're like the opposite of Oprah in so many ways. In the very least, she loves bread, and you don't.
But. And I love bread, too, so it's hard.
Also, she probably lives in a mansion, and you just complimented Ted Kaczynski while living in a van.
Well, his place is pretty nice.
She actually builds schools. And Ted Kaczynski, I think, murdered professors.
I was like condoning his actions.
She's a black lady or a white dude. That's an easy one. That's just on the surface. Anyway.
Anytime I kind of get strict on my diet, which ain't often, but I literally have dreams about certain foods.
Yeah.
When I was on that big raw vegan smoothie thing a few years ago, I had more than one pretty exotic dream about fried chicken. Some weird... Weird stuff crisscrossing in my dreams.
You have, you got horny for chicken?
I have some intense dreams about food sometimes. The other night, I had a dream about French toast because I've been depriving myself of bread.
So this recipe came to you in a dream?
Yeah. Well, no, this is my recipe.
Just say yeah. Leave the mystery there. Say.
I mean, it's not, yeah.
But right. French toast, in your mind that you already had a recipe for French toast.
Yes, exactly. The concept. French toast has been on my brain.
Take us to breakfast town right now, Dave.
So simple. French toast, and it's also one of those breakfast dishes that gets overlooked. Like, when I think of breakfast, I want some eggs.
Yeah.
I want some bacon. You know,
savory.
A biscuit. Yeah. But,
and then somebody gives you a bite of French toast, and you're like, why the fuck didn't I get French toast?
Exactly.
I get it.
Oh, my God. French
toast. I get it.
Whew. So anyway, French toast, real simple. Here's my recipe. All right, I'll give the actual measurements and everything. All right. In a bowl, throw you in a tablespoon of cinnamon, a quarter tablespoon, or I'm sorry, a teaspoon of cinnamon, a quarter teaspoon of nutmeg, 2 tablespoons of sugar, and 4 eggs, and a quarter cup of milk. Mix all that shit up in a bowl. All right?
Okay.
Set it aside.
That's your wash, right?
Yeah, that's your wash. That's what for dipping. And then in your skillet, preferably cast iron, but if you don't have that, just any old frying pan or skillet, throw you some butter in there. Turn that thing up to about medium high. Get it nice and warm, nice and hot. Oh, also a half teaspoon of vanilla in that initial mixture. So cinnamon, nutmeg, sugar, eggs, milk, and vanilla into this mixture. Throw you some butter in a pan to get you some good bread. I like sourdough.
I was going to say, what's the bread choice here?
For me, it's either sourdough, if I'm feeling real fancy, brioche. Get you some brioche because it's a little heartier.
Let me ask about this. Mm-hmm. King's Hawaiian. Can it be done, or is it too sweet already?
I don't think so. I think that could be done.
Okay.
Yeah, you could do just about any bread. I mean, I've even heard of people taking like English muffins and making French toast out of an English muffin, which I haven't done myself. But
I like an English muffin.
Oh, I love an English muffin.
What about like a hot dog bun?
I think that's a little too. That's gonna get too soggy. I think you need a hearty. You know,
because then you could put the bacon like a breakfast sausage in it.
I mean,
breakfast hot dog.
There's no rules. There's no rules here. But for this particular recipe, I would go with a sourdough or a brioche.
Okay.
Or, you know, something like that. You probably wouldn't want to do like a rye or anything like that.
Could you French toast a waffle?
Of course. Yeah, I think you could.
Nice.
Yeah. I like the way you think.
Sorry. I just went, like, wait a minute.
I could see the light bulb going in your head.
I thought we were throwing the brakes on the steam engine with that one. I thought we were like, whoa.
Easiest thing in the world. Get that mixture. Mix it up. Take your whatever bread you want to use. Dip it both sides. One side, other side. Dip it real good. Get it completely saturated. Mm-hmm. And just throw that bread in the pan. And medium to medium high heat. Couple minutes on each side. Get it nice and brown. Nice golden brown delicious. A little GBD. And boom, throw some syrup on there, maybe some powdered sugar. Boom, French toast.
I like just the little spices, just changing up the spices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never thought about spices.
Yeah. A lot of people will just do, they'll just do an egg wash and dip it in there, and that's fine. But man, some vanilla, some cinnamon, some
nutmeg. That's where you can personalize.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I like that. Yeah. That's good.
Anybody can make French toast. So
it's a basic whip-em-up.
And then, you know, presentation-wise, you know, I always cut mine into a triangle, you know, cut it in half diagonally.
That is the traditional French toast. Yeah. That's a French cut.
Put you some butter on there, a little syrup, maybe powdered sugar, whatever you want. Boom, French toast. Because it's something about, like, that egg, what that egg does, you know, the way it just kind of soaks in, and you've got this weird little eggy aftertaste that's like, what's that?
I like that.
It's different.
I like that taste a lot. Oh, man, I'm hungry now.
French toast, baby. Get on it.
All right. Who are we plugging?
Comic of the week. This week, and I know I always say this, but I truly mean it. We wouldn't plug anybody.
We're not fluffing nuts over here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are pretty popular. We'll probably never plug.
Not everybody's on the list.
A lot of people ain't that funny.
Well, I love this dude. We can do something that is also currently happening.
Exactly. Henry Phillips.
Hell yeah.
Henry Phillips is funny. One of the funniest tweets I've ever read in my life. Mm. Is it a faux pas to talk about someone's tweet?
No.
Can I tell his tweet?
Not at all.
One of the funniest tweets. This is the way Henry's comedy brain thinks. Yeah. He goes, and I'm paraphrasing, but he goes, if you're ever in Madison, Wisconsin, you absolutely must stop by Arby's Roast Beef Sandwiches, a hidden gem. Like it's some mom and pop. Henry Phillips got a movie out. His second movie. Did you ever see?
I saw Punching the Clown.
Punching the Clown. Mm-hmm. Now he has Punching Henry.
Yeah, it's a sequel. Correct?
I'm assuming it's a sequel. One would kind of conclude that it's a sequel. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it. It came out in February. I think it had a small release in theaters. Mm-hmm. It's already available. You can get it on iTunes now. You can just download it on iTunes. And I think it's probably still, you know, if you live in a town that's got some cool, like, art house cinemas and stuff, I'm sure there's a couple of big screens that it's still playing.
He was playing the Cooking with Henry web series.
Oh, the Cooking with Henry shit.
That's real hilarious.
That's one of those where it's like, man, I wish I had a thought of that. Just purposely awful cooking tutorials. And like even the editing is perfectly
it's well
purposely
done.
Terrible. Like, Henry Phillips, though. Check out Punching Henry. Sarah Silverman's in it. J.K. Simmons is in it. Tig Notaro is in it. Yeah. A lot of comics. Even though I know J.K. Simmons is not a comic. One of the best actors going right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks great. I haven't seen it. But if you haven't seen Punching the Clown, that was on Netflix for a long time. I don't know if it's still on there.
I forget where I saw that one. But yeah, it's close to the comedy community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Relates to the business.
And if you don't know Henry, he's primarily a musical act. He does a lot. He plays a lot of songs.
Well, it's really like, when the first time I saw him, like, oh, this guy's got an acoustic guitar. And then you watch, like, oh, all right.
Usually
that's all for judging.
Yep. Usually that's, I'm going to go outside and see what's going on.
Yeah, but you see guys like Henry or like Mike O'Connell, and like, no, don't sell. Don't.
Yeah. Not your typical
guitar act. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. Comic of the Week, Henry Phillips.
All right. And I would like to plug the Fate of the Furious. That's the name of the new Fast and Furious movie.
What is it? Fate?
Fate of the Furious.
Fate of the Furious. And they're in the Arctic.
At some point.
You know, where race cars are.
At some point. They're on the tundra. Not even the tundra. Tundra's land. This is just the ice caps.
To a novice like myself who has never seen not one of those movies.
Oh, start with
where
the first
should I start?
One.
Start
with one and watch them all.
Am I going to be confused if I started in the third?
Honestly, if you get into the one where they're in Brazil, that sets up the one that's after it. I don't know the names. They're all some variation. And Furious is always in there.
There are how many now? The new one is the eighth one?
Oh, shit. I think eight. Yeah, because last one was Furious 7.
Okay. I got to check those out. We did watch together Gone in 60 Seconds. That's my version of those type of movies.
Okay, if you like that movie.
I like that one. I mean, it's not a good movie, but it's an entertaining movie.
But Gone in 60 Seconds was so dumb. Like, the writing was so
terrible.
Bad.
But just
so at least
candy,
this one
cars.
Has, yeah. Trust me.
Vin Diesel in the new one?
Trust me. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it without him.
Best actors of our time. Vin Diesel.
Hey, they had the Rock.
The Rock's in one?
Anytime The Rock's in a movie, I'm like, you betcha.
Yeah. It's hard not to like The Rock.
Yeah. Griff, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. And you're going to take all that and go like, you know what? I want to kind of do some comedy.
Yeah.
Fucking great. John Cena's following suit now.
Oh, yeah?
He was in Trainwreck.
Yeah. He was funny in that.
Real funny.
Yeah.
Turns out these professional giant actors can act.
Yeah. That's all they do.
All right. So that's it. Comic Week, Henry Phillips. You can make French toast. Spine's real. And be afraid.
At Boogie Monster Pod. No vowels in the monster. Holler at your boys.
The Boogie Monster.